In 2004, the producer Danger Mouse released The Grey Album, an amalgamation of the vocal tracks from Jay-Z's Black Album and the Beatles' self-titled LP, or what most folks call the White Album. For people familiar with both albums and artists, it was more than just a remix, it was a statement, and on top of that, it sounded great. Allow me to reintroduce myself, my name is Hov, H to the O-V, I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z, I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C, Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the fire, I be the music biz number one supplier. The Grey Album is just one of the more well-known examples of a style of musical creation called mashup. Like the more general category of the remix, mashups have been around for nearly as long as recorded music, and in application, the mashup can make use of any genre or even any sound. In hip-hop, some of the more interesting mashups have been produced in the past 10 years. The best mashups tend to be thematic, making a point or a clever joke through the treatment of the composite music. In 2010, producer Tom Caruana released the Enter the Magical Mystery Chambers, the title playing off of the Wu-Tang Clan album Enter the 36 Chambers and the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour. Its main conceit is in the segues, where recordings of Beatles fans somehow also end up telling the story of Wu-Tang. The common thread between all mashups is the recontextualization, new themes drawn out of classics, new relationships between artists who may never have met in real life. It's a small world anyway, but somehow, by squeezing it all together, mashups expand the universe of what's possible, at least musically.
Support for this podcast comes from Hopping Gnome Brewing, offering a variety of locally brewed craft beers. Hopping Gnome is dedicated to the Wichita craft beer revolution. Open Thursday to Sunday at Douglas and Hydraulic. HoppingGnome.com. Brewed for the locals. Trace me, you know what? Soon they forget where they pluck. They hold down when they try to reverse the outcome. I'm like, tough. I'm not a writer, I'm a writer for myself and others. I say a big verse, I'm only big enough my brother. Big enough my barrel, I'm big enough to do it. I'm that barrel, plus I know my own flow is foolish. So the rings and things you sing about, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. I'm in new sneakers, dual seaters, few divas. What more can I tell you? Let me spell it for you. W-I-L-L. Nobody truer than H-O-P. And I'm back for more. New York's ambassador. Prime Minister, I'm back to finish my business up.
And as we come out there with a little bit off the Grey Album, we welcome you into the New American Songbook. I'm Fletcher Powell. I'm here, of course, with Zach Gingrich Gaylord. Hey, Zach.
Hey.
And Danger Mouse, this is kind of the album that put him on the map. This is certainly the first time I remember ever hearing about Danger Mouse, the producer. And from what I gather, he had a fair bit of trouble with this album getting it even distributed in any way.
Well, he didn't even distribute it, really. Mm-hmm. You could download it, but what happened was that EMI found it out after a lot of other online sites began distributing it for him. He just put it out, he said, as an art project.
Just put it out on the internet.
Yeah, just on the internet, and people just loved it because it's really good. And then EMI found out, and EMI owns the Beatles, their whole catalog, and so then they sued to get it, you know, the cease and desist to make it stop happening. And there was actually an interesting day of protest where it was being, instead of being sold, people just started giving it away for free as a protest against that restriction. And now it's even with a lot of these mashups that we'll talk about, they kind of face the same sort of prohibition and distribution. You can only find them on YouTube, and a lot of the Grey Album videos on YouTube are even restricted. The audio has been taken away from them. because the copyright owners have said you can't use that. So it's even hard to find on the internet sometimes.
I will say it's a little easier than it once was. I don't know if that's because the universe of the internet has expanded more or what, but I do remember a period of time where I had heard of the Grey album, but I sure as heck couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, I think I had a CD of it for a while that I would lose every once in a while and feel really upset because now I couldn't get it again. But it's one of those things, you know, the more people continue to put it up, eventually you can't take down every single iteration of that. So you can get most of it there, although there's still some tracks I think are difficult to find through normal means, but I don't
know. We don't advocate any sort of piracy.
No, we hate pirates, so that's not good.
Well, hate's a strong word. I want to back up just before we get into your playlist here and just take a look at mashups more generally. It seems like, I don't exactly know where they started or how long they've been around, but it seems like something that would be such a natural extension of hip-hop, given that a lot of hip-hop albums will come out with instrumental versions that allow other MCs to put their rhymes over, or will even come out with a cappella versions that will allow you to create other instrumental versions underneath what the pre-existing recordings from the MCs on the albums are. So it seems like something that really naturally would fit with hip-hop.
Right, and it's I think we did a piece on remixes before, and we've done something on DJs. You know, the mashup as a genre or as a technique has been around forever, and it really, you know, doesn't have a real, to me, it doesn't have a strict definition. I bet you there are some people who are more pedantic about it than I am. But there's, if you even look on the internet, you can find, like, people have done mashups of, you know, they'll call it a mashup of, like, all the popular songs in a particular year. Mm-hmm. So all top 10 songs put all together at once, or even something more simple like two versions of the same song played on top of each other. You could call that a mashup. In hip hop, of course, it is really just organically part of it, because hip hop comes from the remix and comes from deconstructing and reconstructing music initially. So it makes a lot of sense. For me, a mashup is best as these thematic mashups where there's an actual point to doing. It's not just look at this cool music and now I have this. It's what can you do to elicit some sort of new or hidden or changed meaning from each of the things? Do they work in synergy with each other? And that's a mashup to me. Otherwise, maybe it's just a remix or it's just something else.
It's just a novelty.
Right.
Well, you talked a little bit about Wu-Tang, the Wu-Tang Clan in your piece. And I think that's as good a place as any to start for a number of reasons. One is that it seems so easy to be able to take what they've done and mash it up with something else. And two is that I've heard a number of different versions of what they've done mashed up with other things. The first thing, of course, you mentioned Enter the Magical Mystery Chambers. Talk about that one just a little bit.
So that one I just recently found, and it's a producer named Tom Caruana, and a few years ago came out with, and now it's not all Magical Mystery Tour, I don't think. It's a really long album. It's maybe an hour and a half or hour and 45 minutes. And a lot of it works. A lot of it is feels a little forced, but there are some really cool moments in it. And part of the conceit of that album is that in the in-between tracks, you're getting fan audio. So they're talking about these fans and a lot of the teenage girls that you associate with the Beatles fanatics of that era are talking about the Beatles, but you also get the sense that it's somehow describing Wu-Tang's rise also.
Are you individually millionaires yet?
No, that's another lousy rumor. I wish we were. Oh,
I never signed a millionaire.
No, even he's not one poor fellow.
Where does all the money go?
Well, a lot of it goes to Her Majesty.
She's a millionaire.
Thank you.
And there's this really interesting kind of synergy between the music of the Beatles when it's kind of deconstructed and put together in this way, and Wu-Tang's lyrics kind of works well. One standout on the album is Give Me Money and the Old Dirty Bastard track, where with mixed up with the Beatles song with the hook, You Never Give Me Your Money, and that piano riff that they play. What I really love about that one is the lyrics are fairly forced, and it's never been like the best ODB song ever. But the way that the harmonies of the instrumental recontextualize the melody in a harmonic way of the hook of that song, because you're listening to it, and if you're familiar with the hook before it comes in, you wonder how is this going to work, and it comes in and it's really cool. And so part of that is just like that one is kind of a novelty of like, oh man, that's a really nice reimagining of how that works harmonically. The rest of it is, you know, Wu-Tang Clan and Beatles are cultural touch points. Everybody knows each one of those bands. And so there's going to be some kind of similarity just in terms of how pop culture affects those musicians. And so it's neat to see those catalogs kind of lined up and interacting with each other in that way.
On the crime side, the New York Times side, staying alive was no job, had second hands, moms bounced on old men, so then we moved to Shaolin land, a young youth.
Continuing along with the Wu-Tang Clan theme, I'm going to out you just a little bit, because we're moving from what a lot of people think is the greatest band of all time, the Beatles, to what you might think is the greatest band of all time, I happen to know, Fugazi. And it's really interesting here to see this mashup between the Wu-Tang Clan and Fugazi, because they're both such unconventional groups.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think that Fugazi is the greatest band of all time. They are objectively the greatest band of all time.
it's not a matter of opinion, no, it's a matter of fact.
It's cool that other people would think otherwise, but Fugazi is, of course, the DC punk band that kind of became their own genre in a lot of ways, and they really helped to define kind of the DIY punk scene. They're always very political, but more in process than in message necessarily. I mean, they had political songs, but they're really more poetic than just blatantly political. Wu-Tang is kind of the same way in that they are also their own genre in a lot of ways. And they, again, in process too, they redefined what an artist was capable of doing as an entrepreneur. So part of when Wu-Tang was signed was they kept available each one of their artists to go and sign separate recording deals. Mm-hmm. So no one was kept from kind of exploring their own angles.
And for those who don't know, Wu-Tang Clan was made up of a large number of artists.
Billions, almost. I mean, it was maybe, you know, more than a dozen.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, each one of them had their own record deals. I remember each one of them had their own 900 line that you could call in to for some reason.
Have a chat with Ghostface Killa.
Theoretically, some kind of chat would happen, but I don't know. But you know, they're similar in both process and just kind of their own genre defining or genre breaking or just their own sound as musicians. When Wugazi came out, that was another kind of internet only thing, and it was kind of well hyped. And it's a weird thing when things just kind of work for some reason and you can't really figure it out. Wugazi was an album that is called 13 Chambers, and referencing the inner the 36 Chambers, and also 13 Songs was Fugazi's first album. But of course, it spans all sorts of catalogs. In fact, there's some Gravediggas acapellas that were used, and Gravediggas was a Wu-Tang offshoot. And so it uses all sorts of different catalogs, but it's just such a neat exploration of punk and hip hop, and then these two really seminal bands.
Cruising at an altitude of 40,000 feet. For your listening pleasure, there are 12 channels.
So while these already might be different musical genres that people might not think of together, the hip hop and punk rock, at least spiritually, in a lot of ways, they might work together. This is also true of the next one that we want to talk about. But I certainly never would have thought of putting Afrobeat and hip hop together. And I got to say, the name of this group or this mashup is pretty clever.
Yeah, this is a project by the producer Amerigo Gazaway, and this is Fela Soul. A mashup of Fela Kuti, the famous Afrobeat pioneer, and De La Soul, just classic New York hip-hop. And the song is Stakes Is High, from their album Stakes Is High.
I'm sick of bitches shaking asses. I'm sick of talking about blunt, sick of Versace glasses, sick of slang, sick of half-ass award shows, sick of name brand clothes, sick of R&B bitches over bullshit tracks, cocaine and cracks, which bring sickness to blacks, sick of swole head rappers with they sickening raps, claps and gaps, making a whole sick world collapse. Facts are getting sicker, even sicker perhaps. Stick a push to make a bundle to escape the smash. Man, life can get.
This is, yeah, I don't know if I've. It's not unusual to use Afrobeat mm-hmm. in hip-hop necessarily, but this is one of those things that I hadn't thought about, but it makes absolute sense. Fela Kuti is political in kind of the same ways that De La Soul was, and I was trying to think about, well, what makes so much sense about it? Because the sound is almost like, okay, well, sound works really well for hip-hop, mm-hmm. but De La Soul was part of Native Tongues, which was kind of... pioneers of this conscious hip-hop in the 80s and 90s. And these guys were kind of optimistic revolutionaries. And their particular politics, I think you could say pretty strongly, just always has come from a place of self-knowledge and love of self and love of community. And yes, they're being political, and yes, they are against certain systems in some ways, but it's always come from this really well-founded place of love and positivity. And I think that Fela reflects that a lot, too. There's a lot of hope in Fela's music. And the combination of the two is just really, yeah, it makes perfect sense. And it sounds great, too. I think this is only the first of several Amerigo Gazaways that we'll be talking about. And every one of these is just so well put together.
Watch the way you spend it, because the stakes is high.
Five,
you know the stakes is high.
You mentioned the producer Amerigo Gazaway, and that there are a number of these tracks that we're going to hear come from him. This next one, The Trill Is Gone, I gotta admit, I know certainly one of the artists involved, B.B. King. The other one, I'm not familiar with whatsoever.
Right, and it's kind of a little bit outside of my wheelhouse, too. This is a mashup between B.B. King and UGK, or the Underground Kings. They're a hip-hop duo out of Port Arthur, Texas. Kind of got their start in the late 80s, which is a little bit early for some of that southern hip-hop. But they're, you know, it's one of those cases where we kind of silo ourselves with our tastes and, you know, doing a little bit more research. I had known about them, but they're, you know, it's almost like their covers just, I'm not going to go there. But they've done stuff with Talib Kweli, Kool G Rap. I mean, anybody, you know, they got their breakout with Jay-Z. This album is just fun, and it's, to me, it just highlights the connections between hip-hop and the blues, because really, a lot of the southern rap especially, but a lot of stuff that didn't necessarily come out of New York City in the 90s in that golden age, or like the Bay Area hip-hop, where we kind of associated with like backpack rap or conscious rap, that's a little more, that's just a little more hardcore, a little more, I don't want to say basic, but base, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, addresses more of those base human impulses. It's just the blues. It's love. It's unrequited love. It's being caught up in materialism, you know, but it's that awareness of having to chase money or to chase security, those sorts of things, you know, and you just, sometimes you just have the blues, man, you sing in the blues. And so B.B. King and UGK, it just sounds great together, and it really brings out that thread between those two genres.
This world we live in, man, it ain't nothing but drama. Everyone wanna harm you. In New York, brothers getting shot for bombers. Now they got your life in a bomber. They hand like California. Players with doves are hydroponic. From Pomona, gangbanging got the ghetto hotter than a sauna. Down in Orange, my boy Box died on the corner. Behind a $5 dice, dice. I saw him once before he died. Wish it was twice, twice. I remember being 8 deep off in Chucky crib. Letting us act bad, not even caring what we did. When we lost him, I knew the world was coming to the end. And I had to quit letting the devil push me to a sin. My brother been in the pen for about 10. But now it look like me get out, I'm going in.
So, like I said, I admitted I was not familiar with UGK whatsoever. I'm very familiar with both of the artists involved in this next mashup, and a couple of major artists in their genres, Marvin Gaye and Yasiin Bey, who has been known as Mos Def, now is known as Yasiin Bey, and Amerigo Gazaway again mashed them up together, mm-hmm. to create this Yasiin Gaye mashup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just pretty. And I don't think it's a terrible secret that I think Mos Def is probably one of the greatest artists of all.
Any era.
In any era. I mean, Dylan got the Nobel laureate, and that's cool. But, you know, Mos Def, he should be edging up there. There's a real populism in his lyrics and in his music. And he's able to touch the high and the low, everything in between, and really create narrative and describe scenes. Marvin Gaye, you know, I have enough of a knowledge to know when I hear him. I've had a couple of his albums. You know, he's kind of an American artist in the same ways. When my wife heard this particular album, it was all over. Yet to hear these two together, it's a shame they weren't able to really get together, because it's just so synergistic and it sounds so good. There's the optimism in Marvin Gaye, there's the struggle in Yasiin Bey, and both of them play off of each other. And it's a little bit deep, but I think of just when I hear the Marvin Gaye and the Mos Def lined up together, I think of the distance between them, and that's what this album sounds like to me, is distance. And it is kind of an album about traveling, what's happened in between the 60s and 70s and now, too. You're able to kind of hear the similarities and struggle, and also just the time passed, and it's an interesting effect of the mashup.
Say I never did nothing for you. Don't say that most never put something on you. Aw, fuck it. Say what you want, niggas. Like it and love it. Hate if you want, niggas. Sun to moon, it's how it's going on, niggas. June to June, I get it till it's gone, niggas. From Project Bricks to Porch and Front Lawn, niggas. To mine, to theirs, to every one of y'all, niggas. America, be straight jumping off. And your DJ got to play that song. Put it on, but you. New York City, I know it's been a long winter. This is the moment you've been waiting for all winter. And all spring, now the summer come. Ghetto flash, spinning cash, glass bubbled up. Ghetto mass in the dance, and they huddled up. Youngins in the mix, lights down, doubled up. So beautiful, it's troublesome. And when it's gone, you can't wait for another one. I'm saying. And then they come back like.
Here's something I wonder just a little bit, is listening to Mos Def, as he was during what I'm thinking of, I've heard a lot of Marvin Gaye and what he's done, not just in samples of that he's used in songs, but also in some of the singing that he's done. He has a little bit of Marvin Gaye in him, and I think purposefully. And so I guess I wonder what he would think about this particular mashup?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a kind of interesting question about what do the artists themselves think. Going back to the Gray album, both Jay-Z and Paul McCartney heard the Gray album, and they both liked it a lot, and they thought, yeah, it was really cool. Jay-Z said it was really cool to be, quote-unquote, playing with the Beatles. And Paul McCartney brought up that it was, you know, at first he felt like, hey, that's a ripoff. But also he came to realize for himself that it was actually quite an honor to have people notice these riffs that maybe he thought no one, they were just songs and, you know, but somebody did something with them. And, you know, so in, at least in that sense, people felt positively about it. I think hip hop artists in general, like if they're surprised, I got to wonder what's going on. I
mean, yeah,
like. This is just part of the deal, is you're going to get remixed, you put the music out there, and it's not passive. Even the instrumentation of hip-hop, the turntable as an instrument, is a once passive listening device now turned into an active creation device. So, you know, to extend that to the songs is really natural. You put a song out, someone's going to do something with it, and you should be prepared for that.
We've been listening to a lot of different genres mashed up together. I find this last one that you picked to be pretty interesting because it's the same genre mashed up together. It's just two different groups that somehow work really well together when put on top of each other.
Right. This is another Amerigo Gazaway called Bizarre Tribe. And this is the Far Side mashed up with the music of Tribe Called Quest. What is really cool about this album is that Gazaway didn't just take the beats as they came from the albums and stick Farside a cappella on top of it. He took the source material for the beats and then reworked it into an album that he could play the Farside on top of.
So the samples, he took the source material for the samples that
right.
Tribe used
right.
and then reworked that.
Yeah. So you hear all the familiar Tribe sounds, and they're still all there, but they're almost extended. It's almost like hearing, this is crazy, but it's like hearing Tribe in four dimensions now, because you're hearing everything that you associate Tribe with, but with this like little extra edge on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's an extended loop that you hear like the resolution of what the music was playing, or you hear a little bit more of a bass line, or there's a little bit more instrumentation in it. The great thing about this album is how well it works. I had to go back and listen to some original Far Side just to make sure that it didn't already always sound like this. And it didn't. It was actually, but it just sounded so like, yeah, absolutely. This is how this song goes. And it's such a reimagining that's so forceful that it makes you question, did the past happen the way I thought it did? Now she's more sophisticated, highly educated, not at all
overrated. I think I need a prayer. Well, we'll close it out there with Bizarre Tribe. A lot of good stuff there, Zach. And if you want to check out that playlist, if you didn't quite catch everything, you can, of course, go to our website at kmuw.org. Zach, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, yeah.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell. She was kind of like a star, thinking I was like a fan. Dude, she looked good. Downside, he had a man, he was a Rudy, too. I make him poop. She told me soon your little bird is gonna fly the coop. She was a flake like corn, and I was born not to understand. By letting her pass, I have proof to be a better man. There she goes again, the dope is here.